Get ready for Cyclone Fanatic Radio.
This is the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, brought to you by Carl Chevrolet, your dealer for life. Now, live from Benchwarmers Sports Bar in Ankeny, here's Chris Williams and Brent Bloom.
Thanks, AD. It's the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined by Brent Bloom. C-Dub will be here any minute, maybe in about 15 minutes, actually, I guess, but it's a special edition today, Brent. The Cyclones are headed to the Sweet 16.
Pretty cool. If you think about it, in my lifetime, Iowa State's been to only five Sweet 16s. In your lifetime, Iowa State's been to four Sweet 16s, I believe. I don't know if you remember, you know, the really early one, but this doesn't happen very often. The fact that it's now happened two out of the last 3 years just goes to show how fun this has been the last 5 years. But now, and Chris talked about it on the Fanatic show, I mean, from what I... Since I've been alive, I think this team has just as good as even the 2000 team of advancing to a Final Four. The 2000 team may have been better, probably, but they had to face Michigan State in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And that was a home court advantage that, you know, although Iowa State had that game won, they were up 7 with 5 minutes left, that was a tough draw. This time, you've got the home court advantage in Chicago. Virginia is a very good team. We'll get into the X's and O's and what they do well as the show goes on. But after that, then everybody knows you've got that, you know, the 10 and 11 on the bottom side. So if Iowa State can get past, well, I think they can win both these games.
Me
and
too.
That's what's exciting is it's not like 2 years ago, because I think everybody knew without George and his broken foot, that was going to be tough. They gave UConn a run, but I don't know of any Cyclone who legitimately thought that they could actually get all the way to the Final Four, because Virginia and Michigan State of all teams are on the other side. Now it would have been a really difficult game. But I honestly think Iowa State has a realistic chance to make a Final Four, and that's a pretty cool thought as we head into Friday.
Yeah, I talked about this on the seniors this afternoon with Rob Gray. I think back to that last time they made the Sweet 16, and I didn't even watch the game. I didn't think they were going to win, and it just was, I don't know, I just didn't want to watch. It just didn't seem like it was going to end well.
And it was a different feeling in the locker room after the North Carolina game 2 years ago than it was against Little Rock, because I think that team knew, okay, without George, that win against North Carolina was pretty special. The way they did it, the way they came back without him and managed to make it to the Sweet 16. But in the back of their mind, they knew it's going to be really tough without number 31 out there. But they celebrated a little bit on Saturday, but after that it was, okay, let's see who we play next, because we're not done yet. And with that senior class and Monte as a junior, Matt as a junior, they're just playing such quality basketball right now. And I know it's been against a 13 and a 12, but you watch this team all year. I think this team is playing as well as they have at any point this season, and that's ideal. And they can beat Virginia. It's going to be Virginia is extremely good.
Right.
But this team is right where you want them to be, and it's amazing to me, as dramatic as the season has been, it's been a soap opera.
Yeah.
And how up and down even single games were. The fact that Iowa State was just so methodical and thorough against Little Rock, every facet of the game, they dominated a decent team, and that proves to be a good spot to be heading to Virginia, because not only are they going to score now, but they guarded the best they have all season against Little Rock, and that's what has me excited.
And I think the thing that about Little Rock and Iona, both of those teams had guys that were Power 5 athletes. You know, you saw some of those lower schools, the mid-majors, that they didn't have those kinds of guys, and they might have won, but you know, it was more just because of the matchup than it was because of the guys they had on their team. I think that both of those teams could have beat a lot of other teams around the country. But Iowa State, dude, I'll say they might have been the most impressive team to me in the first weekend of the tournament besides Villanova.
Yeah, Villanova's there. Kansas was great.
Yeah.
They dominated a good UConn team. I thought North Carolina was fantastic in the second half against Providence. But that's the great thing, is you look at who's left. I mean, Virginia was their second half against Butler. I mean, maybe you don't notice it in the just watching, because they're not a team. They're not a sexy team. They really aren't. They're just so solid everywhere. They shot 80% in the second half. Like, that's ridiculous against a good defensive team. So it's going to be a very, very, very good test for Iowa State. But I think they are playing as good as they have. And offensively, the Cyclones are locked in. They shoot 50% from three, over 50% from the floor. But it's the defensive end that has me excited. The way Monte Morris guarded Higgins against Little Rock. They gave him a challenge. Can they shut Higgins down? He absolutely did. I mean, that guy scored 30 against Purdue, and he couldn't even touch the ball.
He didn't even want to shoot. When he got the ball, he didn't even want to try and put a shot up.
And if you notice in the locker room, the first thing Coach Prohm did was congratulate Monte on the effort defensively on Higgins, because that turned the game around. The way he locked into him, and he didn't really, I don't think he scored in the first half, but we got the last three before the half, and that was it. And they couldn't do anything without him scoring, and Iowa State was able to actually defensively control that game.
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to be a whole different kind of task with something like that with Malcolm Brogdon. I mean,
but
talk about a dude, because if it wasn't for Buddy Hield and Denzel Valentine, he'd probably be the best player in the country.
Well, and he's more physical than Hield.
Yeah.
So he's a different type of player. I mean, Brogdon is just he's a bull.
Yeah.
They had him against Butler. They had the forward go off for like 25 in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know how to say his name,
They put Brogdon on him, and he shut him down. I mean, he's 6'5". Just to give a comparison for some Cyclone fans, he's a bulkier Chris Babb, really, in that he can shut you down defensively.
Yeah, C-Dub tried to compare him to Jamari Traylor on the Cyhawk.
Well, he's physically imposing, I guess, from a body type. But all those guys, the Virginia team looks like, you know, a bunch of linebackers.
Right.
They are just so physically stout that's a concern, because they don't wow you with, you know, athleticism and dunks and all this stuff like a North Carolina would or a Kentucky did last year. But they're just so strong that they just kidney punch you to death. Mm-hmm. Like they're not going to go on a 15-0 run in 2 minutes, but they will just steadily keep punching. You're like, man, make it stop.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they're holding you under 40% shooting, and they have an 8 to 10 point lead, and you're just like, where'd that come from? I mean, it's a slow grind for them, but it can be extremely effective.
And I think it's going to be really fun to watch. I mean, two of the most efficient offenses in the country, but they do it in so completely different ways. You know, Virginia dead last in the nation in tempo.
Right.
Compared to Iowa State, who's probably top 15 or 20. So it's two offenses that score a lot of points, or maybe not score a lot of points, but score so efficiently that it has the potential to be so much fun.
I think Iowa State fans will look at how many points Virginia averages and say, okay, that's not a very good offensive team.
Right.
That's not true. They are so patient in the half court that they will just grind you to death until they find a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's a layup. I mean, you have to guard them for 28 seconds. They are fine with the ball in their hands under 5 seconds on the shot clock. How many times have we seen Iowa State shoot with under 5 seconds on the shot clock this year?
Not many.
Probably not many. And that's the difference in their defensive metrics are really good as well. Part of that is because they are so patient on the offensive end that they slow the game down. But it's not because they're a bad offensive team, because their percentages are right with Iowa State as far as field goal percentage. I think they're 49%. They shoot 40% from three, and they've got guys who can score. Not a great three-point shooting team, but Brogdon and Parentis can knock it down if they're open. And I watched them yesterday, and there's just no weaknesses there. I mean, they're not a great rebounding team, but they don't need to be, because they're so efficient on offense. They make a lot of shots, and then they don't try to get offensive rebounds. They're sending guys back, and so it is almost impossible to get them in transition. And so that's why it's an interesting matchup. If Iowa State's going to score, they're going to have to do it in the half court. There will not be many fast break opportunities, because they're also in the top five in the nation in fewest turnovers. They just don't turn the ball over. They don't make mistakes. So it's almost, just to give a comparison locally, it's almost like the Iowa football team, the way they play, where they're just keep everything in front of you, make you beat them, they don't make mistakes. That's essentially what Virginia is, although at a higher level than Iowa football.
And the key for Iowa State is going to, or this is a thing that I think bodes well for Iowa State, is that when you've got five guys on the floor that are capable of scoring, that's the kind of team that can beat Virginia. Because you see a guy like Matt Thomas, a guy like Abdul Nader, if they knock down a couple threes, that changes the way that they try to pack it in, and they're going to play a lot stronger help. You know, they're going to play hard on that help side. And if Matt Thomas knocks down 2 3-pointers, well, you've got to think about that. We can't help as hard right there. That just opens up the driving lanes more and more for Monte. It opens up the driving lanes more and more for George. And I don't think they've seen that many teams that are like that. You think of ones that they have, North Carolina.
Yep.
They lost to them.
Duke beat them.
Duke beat them, you know. Those are the teams that you see them in the Sweet 16, and they're looking like the teams that are going to have a good chance to go to the Final Four as well.
I went through and looked at the common denominator of their losses, and they've lost 7 games. All 7 of those teams were in the top 55 of KenPom's offensive efficiency.
Yeah.
Meaning that it takes a really good offense to beat them, because they can suffocate those offenses that struggle. So they're still great, but you're going to have to beat them in the 60s. There's no question. It's just they're so good, they don't allow fast break points, that you have to be good in the half court. So the teams they've lost to, North Carolina, a Duke, they lost to Miami, who's in the top 20 of offensive efficiency, with some really good guards who can create their own shots. Mm-hmm. They lost to George Washington, who's a pretty good offensive team. It's just hard to beat them if you're not efficient yourselves, because if you're missing shots against them, they can just suffocate you. They really will. They're a suffocating team. They frustrate you, and all of a sudden, you're down four, you think you're in the game, just like having a Butler. All of a sudden, 3 minutes later, you haven't scored a basket,
right,
and you're down 10. And it's just a slow burn, and that's the way they beat you. But I think Iowa State's in the top three of offense, every statistical category. They have the people that can beat them offensively. My concern for Iowa State is, are they patient enough in the half court on defense to keep Virginia under 70 points themselves? Because if Virginia gets above 75, I don't like Iowa State's chances, because I think that Virginia defense is that good and they play that slow, that Iowa State has to be as good as they ever have been defensively to win this game on Friday.
You can join the conversation with us here on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Give us a call on the Wheeze Tease hotline, 515-284-5966. Give us a call on the Wheeze Tease hotline, and you can join the conversation here, Virginia and Iowa State in the Sweet 16. The thing that I think that kind of strikes me about this team right now is you listen to George, you listen to Monte, they're not thinking about anybody else.
Right.
You know, the Final Four is two wins away. You look on the other side of that bracket, and it's a 10-11 seed. And I don't think they could care. They couldn't care less, you know.
And that's when Iona goes up 5-0 against Iowa State to start the game, I think everybody in Cyclone Nation is going, oh, no.
Yeah.
Here we go. But that team responded. They put it, 13 straight right off, right then. And even Little Rock. Little Rock scores the first basket. Iowa State punches them right back. It's 10-5, 13-5 before you know it. And Iowa State was able to control the rest of the way. Where this team, it's the strangest thing to me in the first two games, because they've been so up and down all year, and it's been wild runs here and there. They've just been so methodical in the way they beat teams. They haven't been stressful. The Iona game got a little dicey late when they cut it to, 8, and then English gets that technical. But the Little Rock game, at no point in that second half was I concerned at all. I mean, they just right. kept them under task, and they're so focused right now. And the way George is playing, he's been the best offensive player in the tournament this far. There was one point in the first half against Little Rock where Steve Prohm literally called the same play 5 straight times, and Iowa State scored on every single possession. They just couldn't guard him. And Virginia's got to be scratching their heads of who do they put on George to stop him, because he's actually a lot like that dude from Butler who put up 22 on him in the first 20 minutes. Do they put Brogdon on him? That's really risky, because if you get Brogdon in foul trouble, their offense drops immensely.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think that they've really seen a guy like that. You know, like Anthony Gill, he's a pretty elite defender too in the post. And I still just don't think they've seen a player that can play on the inside and on the outside like George can.
We've seen it both games.
Yeah.
Where that's why we were so excited last week at this time. I think you brought it up where finally Iowa State's going to see a team that hasn't seen him twice this year.
Right.
And he's hard to prepare for. Like, what do you do? The Little Rock tried to make him go left. He beat him going left. They tried to cut him off, drive him the ball. He stepped back and hit threes. George is such in the zone right now that there's not many people who can defend him. I think Virginia's got great defenders, and they'll certainly give it a shot. But he's as unguardable as anybody in the tournament right now, and that gives Iowa State a puncher's chance.
Well, and I think we talked all season long about the depth and the lack of depth, but I think you're seeing now what it was in the preseason that, you know, you look at Oklahoma, you look at Kansas, and you looked at Iowa State, and you said that's going to be the class of the Big 12. And look, right now, that's exactly who it is. And it's those starting fives. You match Iowa State's starting five up against anybody else. You match him up against anybody else, and you put yourself in a position where you can win games in March, but in the regular season, guys are going to get hurt. They're going to be worn down. It's just different, you know.
And my theory is, if you look at all three of those teams, what's the common denominator? I think they're the three best offensive teams in the Big 12. The old adage is defense wins championships, but I think in March, in order to make a run, you have to have three or four go-to players. And you see, like, a Texas Tech, great for a half, couldn't score in the second half. You look at even you and I, great for a while, but then they kind of stalled out and all they had was Wes Washburn. Mm-hmm. I think you need multiple guys to make a deep run, and all three of those teams do. Their starting fives are loaded. They can go anywhere in those starting fives and get buckets, and that's what it takes. And You know, Virginia, their numbers aren't good from a points per game, but they've got four or five guys that can score. You look across all these teams, your elite defensive teams are tough. But mm-hmm. even look at last year. Wisconsin, not a great defensive team. They beat Kentucky, who's one of the best of all time, because they could make shots. And at the end of the day, basketball is not very complicated. The ball has to go in, and I think these three teams in the Big 12 do that better than anybody. That's why they're still standing.
And we've got a caller on the line. John wants to talk about Deontay Burton. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. A couple questions about Mr. Burton. He's a sixth man off the bench, but when he comes in last couple games, he all of a sudden wants to become the main scoring threat for Iowa State and ends up, more than not making a good shot selection. And two, what would you do about his attempted backwards dunk that was pathetically missed?
That dunk, I'm glad that happened the second half when the game was essentially out of control, because that was a little embarrassing for Deontay, and I think Coach Prohm probably told him, okay, just dunk it next time. You don't need to do the reverse thing. But they need him to be a scoring threat off the bench. I think they give him the green light to go in there and create some offense. He gets out of control, sometimes too much so. But he hit a big three in that first half. I mean, I think you have to give him the ability to go out and shoot when he wants, because it saves some energy from George and Jameel. And also, whether we like it or not, when Deontay scores, he's a much better defender. Mm-hmm. And so I think if they can get him get a couple baskets like he did against Little Rock, he played a lot better on the defensive end after that. He could slow down a little bit, absolutely, but you live with that for Deontay right now.
Right, and I think you, in that first game, you got to remember this is a guy that's playing in his first ever NCAA tournament game, you know, and I'm sure he was pretty jacked up, and he's a guy that gets pretty jacked up for big games regardless. So I think he'll be okay, especially now that you've seen him get through that one weekend.
Just don't try and do too much. I think that's the bottom line with him.
Yeah, and that dunk was not good. That was not good.
It was a degree of difficulty. It was pretty high for an in-game dunk.
Well, it would have been. Yeah, I mean, that would have been good for a dunk contest.
Just got to finish. But thanks for the question, John. Appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for the call, John. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet, on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Just announced, Truck Month has been extended at Carl Chevrolet. With over 400 new Chevy Silverados to choose from, Carl Chevrolet is your local Truck Month destination. Right now, take advantage of up to 25% off total value savings on select in-stock Chevy Silverados, the Midwest's number one selling truck. Or get behind the wheel of a new Cruise LT or Malibu LT with zero-due sign-and-drive lease offers. When it comes to overall value on your next vehicle, there's not a better time to save than Truck Month, and no better place to visit than Carl Chevrolet. Find new roads and see why more Iowans drive Chevy. Visit carlchevrolet.com for complete details or stop in and see us today. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, exit 90, in Ankeny at The Rock.
Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
There are three numbers Gershman Mortgage wants you to know. One, your credit score. The higher the score, the better your credit. The better your credit, the lower your loan interest, the more money you save. Two, what is the percentage rate of your current mortgage? Getting a lower mortgage rate, even 0.5%, can save you tens of thousands of dollars. Three, your wife's birthday. Forget that, and the other two numbers become insignificant. Oh, and here's one more number. 330-2930. Gershman Mortgage. When buying a home, get educated, not sold. Give us a call.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000-square-foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit. Or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Nebraska Furniture Mart proudly supports CycloneFanatic.com. So let me ask you this. Are you ready to upgrade your game day TV to catch every Cyclone play this season? Nebraska Furniture Mart has you covered. Plus, they shop the competition, so you don't have to. Every day, Nebraska Furniture Mart updates its electronic price tag, so you know you are getting the low price that you deserve. Stop by their store in Clive. It's just one block south of Hickman, down on 94th Street, to see the savings for yourself. Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive, a proud supporter of CycloneFanatic.com.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
One thing's for sure, if you're listening to this program, we can probably agree that we're all Iowa State fans. But what about pro sports? Who's your favorite NFL team, NBA team, baseball, hockey? Whatever it is, you'll find that team's flag at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. Every team, every sport, every flag, almost. Shop for yourself online, heartlandflags.com. It's an easy-to-search for the flag you want website. Click the banner ad on CycloneFanatic.com to go straight to the Iowa State merchandise. Or search for the flag you want, heartlandflags.com.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
It's a Cyclone Fanatic radio show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. I'm Jared Stansberry. I've got some co-hosts, Brent Bloom and Chris Williams, as they finish
these
their
chips.
These chips
are amazing.
The Benchwarmers chips are ridiculously good.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I couldn't eat. I can't stop. I've had
we didn't even get the bacon and cheese on them.
Oh, you can get the bacon and cheese on them?
On those, too.
Well, Daddy likes the sound of that. So, why didn't you do that?
Well, we were trying to keep it healthy.
Oh, so you just went with the baked,
right.
With the deep fried.
The deep fried chip instead.
And then, they got this, like, beautiful ranch dressing that you dip it in. Oh, it's fantastic.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody describe ranch dressing as beautiful.
Oh.
You know, are you on team ranch or team no ranch?
Team no ranch.
Good man.
You know
I
what?
Knew I liked Jared
Screw
for a
guys.
Reason. I knew I liked him for a reason.
Terrible, terrible take.
You're going to try and make me eat ranch like Rob Gray made me drink scotch in Kansas City.
No, I will
in
make
Chicago.
I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do, Jared. However, I am going to make you go to the Bulls game, and you're going to root for the Bulls on Wednesday night.
I don't know. I like the Knicks.
You're not rooting for the Knicks.
Why do you like the Knicks?
Porzingis.
Okay.
Well, that'll be cool to see Porzingis, but you're not rooting for the Knicks.
Okay, fair enough. I won't root for
the
Knicks.
In the house that Hoiberg built.
Fred's back in the playoff picture.
Well, yeah.
Great.
Back where they should be.
Yeah.
Well, they should
well,
be.
Well, I was going to say probably
like
be higher than that, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Are you looking forward to the Sweet 16, Jared?
Yeah, I'm. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You seem like you got a little extra pep in your step today.
I do. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for Wednesday, 8 a.m. That's an early wake-up call, though, at C-Dub.
Well, we got to get there because we got to get there and work in the afternoon. We got some stuff to do. We got a lot going on.
Yeah, I know.
So you're leaving when?
We're gonna leave Wednesday morning.
So you got 2 days of coverage leading up to Friday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Two film rooms this week. I didn't even tell you this.
Two film rooms.
Yeah.
You breaking down offense and defense?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
When's the first one running?
Tomorrow morning.
I can't wait to get up in the
We've
morning.
We've got
now.
Some special edition podcasts coming up. Jared and I are gonna be. Over there in Chicago, we've got Thursday, I mean, Cyclone Fanatic's just going to be off the charts.
Don't even need to work.
No, I wouldn't. I would skip. I would just take the rest of the week
Keep
off.
Keep reading.
You guys. You've got a great column coming up as well. What do you promote it a little bit?
No, it's
the
you know,
classic
I'm a,
Bloom hype column,
it,
national championship.
Not quite that far, but like you said in the early part of Fanatic's, I think this Iowa State team has as good a chance to make the Final Four as any in my lifetime. Now, the argument would be that 2000 team, and they were this close there. But that was a de facto home game in Auburn Hills.
And they were playing against the refs.
Well, that was maybe Realist. Part of the home court advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, that was all Michigan State fans. But this one, it's out there. And that's what's so cool. And this team has such a better chance than that team 2 years ago. And that's why that was neat. That run 2 years ago was great. But I think everyone in the back of their minds was saying, okay, I just don't know if they can do it. And you were in the locker room after that North Carolina game. That almost felt like a finality. That they got this win. yes, they're going to go to New York City, but
because we didn't really think they would beat North Carolina without George.
Right. Nobody did.
Yeah.
Although they were favored in that game, and they were favored against Connecticut by a point.
Yeah, but Daniel Adozie was in the starting lineup.
Exactly.
Hey, he's playing professionally somewhere, isn't he?
I mean, what? It can't be that professional.
I was going to say that I think this region is going to be the most fun one. No matter who comes out of it, it's going to be a story. You know, you think about Virginia, if they go to the Final Four, it's their first one since Ralph Sampson. Iowa State, first one since the 50s?
Yeah. 44.
Okay, 44. So then
proves your point even more.
Gonzaga, Mark Few's first Final Four after however many chances they've had, in which I think it'd be really ironic that it'd be this team.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of his good teams he's had to get to the Final Four. And then Syracuse. Jim Boeheim was suspended for, what was it, half the ACC season?
Right.
And somehow he's able to get these guys together who probably should have been in the NIT and taken to the Final Four.
That was the team that everybody was upset about after Selection Sunday, was Syracuse.
Yeah. All of a sudden, here they are. They're going to Chicago.
Iowa State-Virginia is the most intriguing Sweet 16 game, isn't
it? I think it's the best one.
I mean, A&M, Oklahoma, I'm just trying to do. No. Who does Duke got?
Oregon.
Duke-Oregon is nice.
That's a nice game.
North Carolina-Indiana is nice.
I saw one of the national guys today who said it was pretty cut and dry in his opinion that Iowa State-Virginia is the best Sweet 16 game.
And here's the thing about Virginia. Unlike a Kentucky or a Duke or North Carolina, they don't have the history of winning this game. Mm-hmm. So there's some pressure on them. I mean, they've been a high seed the last 2 years and been bounced. Last year was in the round of 32. 2 years ago, they got beat by Michigan State as a one seed in that same region where Iowa State was. So I think there's a little pressure on Tony Bennett's team to finally take it to the next step. And you wonder if that game's tight late, if they feel a little bit of pressure because they folded the last 2 years in close games. They actually lost games both to Michigan State. So it's going to take a rugged effort from Iowa State. So physical, maybe the most physical game they're going to play all year to win it. I just think if push comes to shove, Iowa State at the end of the day has maybe one more better offensive player that can make a play. And if it's close late, I like Iowa State's chances. I know they haven't closed very well this season, but they've been pretty steadfast so far in the NCAA tournament. I like where this team is at mentally.
I agree. I guess that's what I like the most about the team, Bloom, is where their mind is at. I've never seen a group of Iowa State players since we've been around so excited about defense that they were on Saturday night. Seriously, though, they were all I loved Prohm's quote. I wish I would have cut it up and had it for the show, but he was talking about ball screen defense immediately after the game. He goes, did you guys see that? That's what we've been trying to do all year. And it's kind of like clicked for these guys. I thought it was interesting, too. So Niang and Prohm had this meeting on Monday before so Niang didn't like their practice on Monday. And Niang goes up to Prohm's office after he showers and says, Coach, what can I do? Like, I don't want my career to end. What can I do to do better leading up to this week? And Prohm responds to him, and he goes, what can I do better as a coach for this team? And they had this come-to-Jesus meeting on Monday night. They're leaving for Denver at 9 a.m. on Tuesday. And it's semi-late night, Prohm, Niang, sitting in Prohm's office, having this type of conversation. And Niang told us after, it was me and Alex Halstead from Scout and Travis. Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune. We were the only three there. We were the last ones to leave the locker room. And Niang's telling us this. He goes, it was at that moment where I fully bought in to Steve Prohm. He goes, I had understood what his direction. Like, we liked him. We were learning from him. He kept grinding. And it was at that point for me that I fully bought into to Steve Prohm. And I think you can tell. I think it really – that team looked different. I know that they played better teams than they did those two. But that team looked different the way they defended and the way they answered. That's what I loved about it, too, because every time, like, there'd be, like, a 6-0 run. Iona went on a 6-0 run in the second half, and I go, uh-oh. I'll get a timeout, Coach. Nope, just go back into Niang. He's going to take care of it, which helps, too, when Niang's getting his first foul with 10 minutes to go in the second half, and that happened in both of those
games. Well, that's the other part of this, is he's been staying out of foul trouble, and it's been absolutely essential. He plays so much better, and he gets in a flow when he's not in foul trouble. And this, Virginia's smart enough. They're going to go attack him. They know. I mean, you got to get that guy off the floor, because Iowa State offensively is not nearly as good without 31 out there. And this is a huge step up, though. And I know Iona and Little Rock were good teams. They made the NCAA tournament. They each had won a bunch of games. But this is going from the pro version to all Madden level. I mean, this is a huge, huge step up in just physicality, just the body types, where Deontay Burton could overpower that Little Rock defense, and he overpowered the Iona defense. Same with Abdul Nader. George Nann could back him down. They won't be able to do that as easily against these guys, and so it's going to require a lot more patience, both offensively and defensively, to get it done. I don't see Iowa State in any capacity being comfortable by 10 points at any point, because you look at every single Virginia game, they're in it to the wire. I think their biggest loss has been 6 points this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they just stick around. They stick around. They are hard to knock out. And it's Iowa State is going to just battle if they want to win.
I don't think you knock this team out. I think it's got to be like a technical knockout if you're going to win. I mean,
it's
can you imagine any sort of scenario where you get a double-digit victory against Virginia? I can't.
No.
The only way, if fouls at the end.
Yeah.
Free throws. I think that one of the things that really struck me about George's mentality is today, I think it was Dave Sproul asked him if they were going to get a chance to go watch the Bulls on Wednesday night. And he said, I'm not worried about that. All I'm thinking about is Virginia. Everybody on this team, all we're thinking about is Virginia. We're eat, sleeping, breathing Virginia.
Yeah.
And we don't care about the schedule. We don't care about going to Chicago. We don't care about anything else. All we're thinking about is Virginia and winning this game.
That was interesting. When they got back yesterday, Bill Fenley tweeted a picture of, her name's Billy Fenley, at 9:30 at night. And with the tournament games going on, there was George Niang in the gym firing up jumpers. I mean, that's why he's great. I mean, nobody sees that side of him, but he works as hard as anybody. Same with Matt. Same with a lot of those guys. They're always in the gym. And there's no doubt they will have complete focus. Are they good enough to beat Virginia? We'll see. I think it's going to be a heck of a game. I can't wait for it.
There's a guy who I've just been fascinated with over the last month or so, and I'm going to write about him later on in the week, is Abdul Nader. I mean, if you want to talk about, if you stack all these guys up who are on the team last year, like then and now, mentally,
right,
like just a difference. It's night and day, Abdul Nader last year at this time compared to where he is at right now. And you can tell, like, he's so confident right now. He didn't even have that in December. He's a totally different guy.
Him and Matt have been the X factors this year.
Yeah.
Because when Naz goes down, it's going, we talked about it on the show.
It's
that's tough. What are you going to do to replace this guy? But those two have increased their workload so much that they've been able to cover for him. And how many times last year Dooley would shoot, and you're going, why did you shoot that? I mean, but I don't remember in the last month and a half ever thinking, that's a bad shot. And his shot selection's been a lot better, too, and that has helped. And they're going in. Look, his percentages are – he's had an incredible increase in three-point percentage, field goal percentage, and he just looks comfortable. He's in within himself, playing well, and he's also guarding now, too. He played really well in defense the last two games. He had English for a little while. He had Higgins for a little while and did a nice job. I would expect – he and Matt both will get the assignment on Brogdon, and that's another step up. But we'll see. I think he's up for it. I think he's ready to go.
He said this afternoon that he's going to start on Brogdon.
Nader said that?
Yeah. At least he expects to.
That would be like classified information. I wonder if he was supposed to tell us.
No,
that.
But
that's good info.
I mean, Bennett would have a 50-50 chance to guess that.
If I'm him, I'd say, yeah, I'm going to guard Brogdon. You know what? I'm going to shut him down.
Do you guys love Tony Bennett?
I don't know. I'm not a fan of his style of basketball, I'll be honest.
I don't like the pack line myself.
No.
It's kind of boring.
The pack line's what we played my freshman year at Simpson. We didn't win many games, I'll tell you that. But
Tony Bennett does.
Yeah, well, fair enough. We'll talk more about Virginia defense when we come back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Admit it. You judge a sports bar on three key criteria: TVs, food, and wings. Consider this our entry into the category for best wings. Ken from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill here. Our wings are flame broiled to sear in that juicy flavor, generously lathered in our signature homemade sauces. Barbecue?
Sure.
Buffalo?
Of course.
But how about garlic jalapeno, sweet bourbon, or Caribbean jerk to go along with 11 other originals you'll only find at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill?
You've just been hungerstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
We've run into a bit of a snag with your home loan.
What?
Sorry, but we're going to have to delay your closing for a few days, okay?
Not okay at all. The movers are already here and my home is packed in boxes. Are you kidding me?
Don't let a stressful and delayed closing take the joy out of your next home purchase. At Lincoln Savings Bank, they put their money where their mouth is, providing local approvals and the extensive home loan products that fit your needs. Best of all, the mortgage professionals at LSB are there for you when you need them most. Lincoln Savings Bank is dedicated to providing the service and value you need for your purchase loans. So don't let... ruin your day. Visit one of LSB's convenient locations in Clive, Ankeny, and Adel today, or check out their loan closing guarantee at mylsb.com/guarantee. Lincoln Savings Bank. The right people, the right process. Period. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000 square foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit, or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
One thing's for sure, if you're listening to this program, we can probably agree that we're all Iowa State fans. But what about pro sports? Who's your favorite NFL team, NBA team, baseball, hockey? Whatever it is, you'll find that team's flag at Heartland Flag Poles and Flags. Every team, every sport, every flag, almost. Shop for yourself online, heartlandflags.com. It's an easy-to-search for the flag you want website. Click the banner ad on cyclonefanatic.com to go straight to the Iowa State merchandise. Or search for the flag you want, heartlandflags.com.
The Man Cave. Manly traditions, poker night, watching football games, getting away from life. The place you can relax because it's yours. Performance Concrete Polishing is the nemesis of boring concrete. You dream it and we'll create it. Colorants, logos, or sports themes. These floors are easy to clean and light reflecting. Be unique and create something to be envied by your buddies. Find us at PerformanceConcretePolishing.com. Performance Concrete Polishing, the nemesis of ugly, boring concrete.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
It's a Cyclone Fanatic radio show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
Just so you know, Adam Gray's vasectomy went well.
Yes.
The Iowa Clinic Men's Center.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
Yeah, iamenscenter.com. You could still actually, it may be better to get the vasectomy Sweet 16 weekend.
No way.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you've probably missed the key vasectomy season. However, if you were indecisive, now's your time. I saw Gray. He's walking around, looks really good. If you guys want to go to the Sweet 16 with us, we're doing a bus trip, a Cyclone Fanatic bus trip, and we're staying at this hotel downtown, and it is very affordable, like, it's a good deal. But this hotel has, like, a basketball court.
Yeah.
So Gray and Jared here have been talking all this smack about who could win them one-on-one. So I'm like, to Gray, I go, hey, this is the perfect opportunity for you to, you know, put up or shut up. And he's talking about how Jared's like the Stew.
Yeah.
Wow. The Stew from Clarinda High School and Simpson and all this stuff. And I go, okay, well, let's do this. Let's set it up. I'll bring the video camera. It's going to be great. And he starts talking, oh, I just got a vasectomy, though. And I go, hey, dude, if you get a vasectomy at a normal place, like, I understand it. But you went to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center.
Premier.
Yeah. That's a grade A vasectomy that Adam Gray got. I don't care. I don't want to hear the excuses. You guys are going to ball.
We're playing. I don't care what he says. We're going to play.
So let me do the matchup report here. Jarrett played in the Iowa High School State Tournament. It was a leading scorer for Clarinda. What'd you get to?
Correct.
Semi?
Yeah, we made it to the semis. Yeah, we ended up third. Yeah.
Okay, so Gray plays intramural basketball, and I believe the last time he played in a competitive game, he tore his Achilles. So I'm giving the advantage to Jarrett Stansberry there.
Yeah,
I think I'd put the line Stansberry minus 22.5.
I think I'd beat it. Yeah, I think
they're playing.
He might score 5 points on me.
I'll step back. Jumpers.
Great too. They're at his age. He's 30 now. I mean, there's a better chance of him ripping another Achilles or tearing an ACL than actually beating Jarrett.
Right? Why risk it?
Yeah,
I think he'll greatly regret it the first time I drive by him and throw down a thunder slam.
In Iowa State terms, this is like Aaron Agnew going head to head with. You're not Niang, but you would be like Damian Staple.
Agnew
did get a scholarship. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, this is way before your time.
Okay. Oh, look him up.
Yeah, look it up. You're going to like it.
You're going to like Aaron
Staple
Agnew.
Was the ultimate glue guy during the Wayne Morgan year. Before he got kicked off the team.
No, he never got kicked off the team.
Yeah.
He's from Jamaica, man.
He went to an NCAA tournament, though.
He
was on that team.
He was the Bash brother for Jarrett Holman.
Yes, indeed he was. After Roman left. Yeah. Damien.
We've got John on the line on the Wheeze Tease hotline. He wants to talk about the NCAA tournament. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. I was impressed.
Are you there?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we got you, John.
Okay, hey, I was impressed with
we got you.
They played great against Little Rock. They played a half-court system, and so I'm very impressed in how they looked. Another comment I want to make, you guys, and I want to hear this. The players that passed away, and I'm talking Len Bias and Hank Gather, these two players, if they would have lived on, how good do you think they would have been? If the college players that would have lived on, if how good do you think they would have performed? Like Len Bias, one of the top performers one of the best basketball players I've ever seen in my life, by far. Better than Michael Jordan, but I want to hear your opinion about that.
Well, we're just going to need Blooms because way before our time.
Actually, I was going to – that's funny. I was going to buy a Len Bias jersey yesterday.
Seriously?
Yeah. I had it all up on my my cart.
Where are we going to buy that?
A website that probably does not legally license their jerseys that they sell. But
that's okay. Bloom, do you have a take on that?
I don't remember them much because we're all around.
I think
it was a little before us. But I've watched old film, and there's a great documentary about Len Bias.
Both of them.
Seriously?
And Hank Gathers. Yeah. Both. But I think Bias was thought of the two as being a really premier all-star NBA-type player.
He literally set the Celtics back 20 years.
He did, because they drafted him hoping he'd be the next Larry Bird. I mean, he was a high-level player at Maryland. And then Gathers, of course, was on those Marymount teams that just ran up and down under Paul Westhead. But I think... I don't know enough, but Bias, from what I understand, was going to be an all-star for a long, long time when he tragically passed away, but I guess we'll never know.
I'd say, I mean, heck, you could think that a lot of the years in the 90s could have been completely changed in the NBA if he's around.
And people your age probably don't remember when the Celtics were absolute trash.
Right.
I mean, now they're not great, but they had that stretch under Doc Rivers, where they won an NBA title. They were so bad when Rick Pitino was. It was just awful.
Who was the Celtics guys on NBA Jam?
Oh, man.
Because it wasn't Bird.
No, Bird was gone by then. That's a great question.
Bird was on, that double dribble game.
I like how we know our NBA from the 90s sometimes by three players.
That's what I go by. You got Sean Kemp and you got Scott Skiles. You got Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen. Because Jordan wouldn't be on the game.
They had nobody.
They were terrible.
They were really bad.
Yeah.
And when NBA Jam came out.
No NBA Jam quality players on that era of the Celtics.
I'm Googling that at our next break. And we'll update the people.
We should just do that right now.
Wait, you guys talk amongst yourselves. I'll find it.
Okay, sounds good. what was his first question? It was about
talking about Iowa State's defense.
Yeah, I mean, it was everybody did it too. Like even a guy who's been really bad on defense all year. Sorry, Hollis Cook, but he was engaged when he hits a shot. Mm-hmm. He's a whole different guy. It was a huge deal to me to see even though it was pretty much, I mean, it was a big shot. They would have won even without it. But every, like Prohm said it, everybody who went into that game played well. Yeah. Even Deontay, like, I mean, he had that dumb reverse dunk that didn't happen. But, like, the fact that he was able to rebound from game one to game two, like, he was a totally different guy against Little Rock than he was Iona.
Yeah, and I think Hollis Cook's going to hit a shot. Whether it's Friday night or if they win and then it's Sunday night, he's going to hit a shot that comes at a really big time because it just seems like he's due for just one of those threes that he puts up from the corner to fall.
Yeah, and I've said this on the program so many times. He reminds me a lot of Matt Thomas when he was a freshman. You can tell the guy has the physical tools to do something, but mentally it's just not there yet. And you're starting to see, I think, Kalas is playing a lot better. Bloom, did you come to a verdict?
On the original one, they only had two guys. The two guys for the Celtics were Reggie Lewis and Kevin McHale, who is not retired yet.
Kevin McHale was on NBA Jam.
It was not a strong NBA Jam team. It was, however,
didn't Reggie Lewis collapse and die on the floor?
I think, did he too?
Yeah, I think he did.
That's what. Yeah, he did.
He did.
But they were better than the Bucks team that year, the NBA Jam, to bring it back to the state of Iowa. Brad Lowhouse. And Blue Edwards were the NBA Jam tandem. You always beat them early. Like that. It's like, okay. Like the first guy in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out who you just throttled, that was Milwaukee and NBA Jam. Like they were the first team you had to go through before you got up the ladder.
Sean just sent me their roster from the 94-95 season. I'll give you the names that I recognize. D. Brown. He won the former Slam Dunk champion, right?
He had the pump-up shoes.
Sherman Douglas.
Yep.
I remember Sherman Douglas from Syracuse. A.C. Earl was on that team.
A.C. Earl.
There's your boy Blue Edwards.
Nervous Purvis Ellison.
Xavier McDaniel.
There you go.
And then
Eric Montrose.
Dominique Wilkins was on that
team.
He
had a cup of coffee with him, yeah.
I didn't know that. And then Eric Montrose.
Yeah. Oh.
How many games
Rick
did they
Fox.
Win?
Rick oh, Fox. Win, like, I didn't mention
20
Rick
games.
Fox.
Rick Fox is best known for his appearance on He Got Game.
That was legendary.
Yeah. They took Jesus Shuttlesworth in.
Have you watched that?
I'll be honest, I haven't.
Oh my God, you got to watch it this week before you go to Chicago.
No, tonight.
Yeah.
You're a
basketball. Is it on Netflix?
It might be.
Jared.
He Got Game.
Being a basketball guy like you are.
Didn't Public Enemy do the soundtrack to that one?
I think
one?
So.
Yeah, they absolutely. I Got Game. He Got Game. Yep. Yeah. That's a really good movie. Ray Allen's the guy.
Yeah.
Ray Allen's the lead actor in it. And Rick Fox makes a cameo where he's breaking all these NCAA violations with, like, escorts and stuff.
It's like a modern-day Louisville. There were a lot of college basketball movies in the late 90s.
Blue Chips, dude.
Blue Chips.
That's
great.
A tremendous movie.
Oh, speaking of Louisville and coaches, what about Jamie Dixon?
Jamie
Dixon to TCU, it's official.
I'm okay with that.
No, I think it's a good hire for TCU.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not great.
It's about as good as you can do if you're TCU.
If Oklahoma State goes out and hires somebody
Underwood,
good,
sounds like they're going to get Underwood.
Yeah, so if they get Brad Underwood, this is like murderer's row of coaches. There's not a single weak link.
I think I was corresponding with a guy on Twitter last night during that Stephen F. Austin game. Apparently a lot of Iowa State fans don't know that Underwood interviewed for the job that Prohm got.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was like just common knowledge and everybody knew it. Yeah, he was a finalist for that job.
He's got JUCO ties. Like, I think he'll recruit well to Oklahoma State. They got to pay him a lot of money to get him, though.
Would you, definitely, if you're Kansas State, would you just fire Bruce Weber right now and try and get Underwood?
No.
They're young.
It's tough.
Bruce Weber. Like, come on. Let me ask you this. If you're a Kansas State fan, like, I think all three of us will sit here and go, Bruce Weber got that team to overachieve this year, which isn't saying much because they're not in the postseason. Mm-hmm. However, if you're a Kansas State fan, do you have any faith at all that that team is ever, under Bruce Weber, going to be capable of, like, going to, say, a Sweet 16?
Hey, man, he coached a team to the national championship game.
With Bill Self's players.
Okay, yeah, well.
I think I'd have Underwood over Weber.
I don't think that I would fire him. And be like, this is why we're firing him, so that somebody else doesn't fire
Brad
Underwood.
Brad Underwood's a
Underwood.
Kansas State guy, though. He's got roots there.
I don't know.
He coached in the Kansas JUCOs forever.
Yes. That's the perfect fit.
Like, it's like, yeah, but like it's, the Bill Snyder
yes,
for K-State.
I just think it's hard.
Charisma.
Well, then look what happens when Brad Underwood goes there and he's not successful, and it's like, dang, well, we fired Bruce Weber to hire this guy.
You're just going to fire Bruce Weber anyways.
I don't think anybody's going to miss Bruce Weber.
No, Bruce Weber is going to get fired next year from Kansas State, and he's going to end up at, like, some low major.
Bradley.
Yeah, and he's going to go off into the sunset.
Yeah, and then Kansas State's going to end up with Will Wade or somebody like that.
Brad Underwood is the perfect fit for Kansas State. They need to see it.
Well, I don't know how many years Brucey Bruce has left. It seems like a good fit there. Oh, would you do, okay, now your next question.
Bruce Weber isn't a good fit anywhere.
Underwood or Doug Gottlieb?
I would.
Dude, I don't know. I'm not buying into the Doug Gottlieb hype.
He wants the job.
He wants any job.
He wants the Tulane job, too.
Yeah, he wants every job.
Who's also the old UNI ADs at Tulane. I wonder if he'd hire Gottlieb.
Troy Dana.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't kill. I wrote this today, Monday Musings. You guys should go read it.
I did.
I would not kill Oklahoma State for hiring Doug Gottlieb. I absolutely wouldn't, because I think it would fire up like a young portion of the fan base. I think you'd get a lot of like guys our age who watch Gottlieb play and who listen to Sports Talk Radio get you excited. However, the safest hire is Brad Underwood. I mean, look at what he's achieved as a coach.
I just think it's different to hire a guy that played in the NBA and then was an executive in the NBA, compared to a guy that played college basketball and then was a talking head for college basketball.
You're right. There is one thing people don't know about Gottlieb. His brother is a assistant coach at Cal. So he's been around the X's and O's stuff enough. I think he could get by, and I think he'd get some quality assistant coaches, and he'd recruit really well.
I was going to say, like, if you're a high school kid, though, Jared, you wouldn't want to go play for Doug Gottlieb?
No, I don't like
want
Gottlieb.
Dude, could you imagine
at least
him
get
at
people
Big 12
in that building?
Day? That's what I'm saying.
That building's been empty.
Nobody
I don't know
cares.
If Underwood fires up the natives.
No, and he's not a guy who's going to go out and win a press conference either.
And I don't think he'd win right away. I think Doug Gottlieb, if they were going to win with him, then it'd be right. I think he would have the thing to get the juice and get some good guys in there right away.
Taking it back to Iowa State, I think they made the right call there. Because if you bring Underwood to Iowa State last year, the clash in styles. And we saw it now, how fragile, and I mean this lovingly, that team was this year.
Yes.
I think they may not have figured it out at all.
And Prohm's probably like the single most laid-back, nicest guy in college basketball. Like I mean, as far as like demeanor goes, he's more chill than Fred was, which is, I mean, Fred had a heart condition. He right. had to be chill. Like, and Prohm is below him.
So easygoing, and they had problems with him. Like, if they had a tough-nosed son of a gun like Underwood.
And he's like Underwood, if you guys don't know, he's like a Larry Eustachy type.
Yeah.
Like in your face, screaming, that type of guy. I don't know how Abdul Nader would have responded to that.
We'll talk more about the NCAA tournament when we come back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet, on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Hey guys, CycloneFanatic.com is proudly sponsored by our friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart. And let me tell you, that store in Clive has everything you need to create the kitchen of your dreams. They've got top-rated appliances, flooring, and coming soon, even cabinets. There you will find everything you're looking for. More than 100 options of refrigerators, ranges, and also dishwashers. They carry the brands you trust with all of the features and colors to perfectly complete that kitchen of your dreams. It's all in one store. Nebraska Furniture Mart, just one block south of Hickman on 94th Street.
First impressions, they're so important. What does the curb appeal of your home say to your friends or future potential buyers? Is your driveway, patio, or front porch ugly and boring? Performance Concrete Polishing can create a beautiful new look for your exterior and interior concrete surfaces. Colors, designs, engraving, artwork, there are endless possibilities. Start enjoying concrete surfaces that are durable, easy to clean, and always shiny. Find us at PerformanceConcretePolishing.com. Performance Concrete Polishing, the nemesis of ugly, boring. In concrete.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
There are three numbers Gershman Mortgage wants you to know. One, your credit score. The higher the score, the better your credit. The better your credit, the lower your loan interest, the more money you save. Two, what is the percentage rate of your current mortgage? Getting a lower mortgage rate, even 0.5%, can save you tens of thousands of dollars. Three, your wife's birthday, forget that, and the other two numbers become insignificant. Oh, and here's one more number, 330-2930, Gershman Mortgage. When buying a home, get educated, not sold. Give us a call.
You know we've got the Wang and Burger game down, but if you haven't yet tried our Thunder Pie pizzas from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill,
you're missing out.
Ken here. Thick and chewy crust. Absolutely loaded with an eye-popping,
taste bud intimidating
amount of toppings and ooey gooey cheese. Our Thunder Pies check in at about 5 pounds each.
We rock it then, too.
Don't settle for frozen.
Don't settle for bland.
Thunder Pies at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You just been Thunderstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
It's a Cyclone Fanatic radio show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet, Jared Stansberry, with Chris Williams and Brent Bloom. Guys, I'm going to ask you something, and I want you guys to just give me your honest answer.
Okay.
Are we going to be here next week talking about multiple Big 12 teams in the Final Four?
Yes.
Oklahoma and Kansas, or Oklahoma or Kansas and somebody else?
Kansas and somebody else. Either Kansas and either Iowa State or Oklahoma will be in the Final Four.
That's a fair bet, since there's only that's the only three options.
No, I think that the three of the four best teams in the country. So
Jared's learning.
Yeah, Jared is. What do you think, Blue?
I think I would eliminate Oklahoma.
Oh, come on. Why you got to be hating on my guy, Lon Kruger?
I think Oregon's going to beat him.
I think Oregon will beat him by 10.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're going to get.
I don't know.
Lon's going to coach in circles around Dana Altman.
Kansas clearly has the best odds, and the way they're playing right now, I'd be surprised if they don't make it there. Iowa State's the flip of the coin. Everyone's saying, I watched that Gonzaga team because they stayed in Denver. That team's really good right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a, if you beat Virginia, it's not a cakewalk, by the way, in that next game. I think Gonzaga beat Syracuse by double digits. They're really impressive. So just because it's got 11 next to their name, if Iowa State plays Gonzaga,
I'd rather play Syracuse.
Gonzaga's favored right now. If Iowa State plays Gonzaga, I really
by
think
how much?
That, a point, point and a
what
half.
What about Syracuse?
Iowa State by three. Maybe two for Iowa State.
Dude, I think Iowa State would destroy Syracuse. So I'll be completely honest.
Well, they play that zone.
Yeah,
you don't want to do that to Iowa State.
At least has some logic to it, unlike the Baylor zone, which is nice.
Did you see the Baylor fan on Twitter last night coming at me? So
yeah,
I flip it over to CBS Sports Network, and this Baylor fan who follows me, he has no clue that I'm kind of like a shill for Baylor and everybody makes fun of me for it. Well, I send out a tweet. I go, I flip it over to CBS Sports Network, and it's Scott Drew analyzing timeout usage. You can't make it up. That's what the tweet says. And that's really, like, he was really, like, commentating on timeout, and I thought it was hilarious. And this Baylor fan starts coming at me that Scott Drew's unorthodox timeout usage is why they've owned Iowa State the last 2 years. I'm like, it has nothing to do with your length and athleticism and all this crap, but it kind of infuriated me because I'm like, dude, Baylor fans should love me. Don't be coming at me like that. Go at Stansberry.
You sound like Donald Trump. Everybody loves me.
Well, no, trust me, that's not the case. But I feel like Baylor fans, if anybody should.
Nice job out of them again.
Oh, God.
See, this is why.
He's going to have a great second career on TV. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, he's great at TV.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy could sell every car in Des Moines.
Right.
If he wanted to.
Hey, he's going to recruit me.
Yeah, he
did try to recruit
me. Yeah.
Tell that story, just in case somebody's listening and they have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, I wasn't even working the game. I just showed up to do video afterwards.
Yeah.
And as Scott Drew was leaving his press conference, he stopped and he said, "Wow, we've got some size back here. You got any eligibility left?"
See, that's why I love Scott Drew.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's a people person. Just not much of an X's and O's guy.
Well, obviously he's not too terrible at it.
I think the last 2 years are more indicative of the Elite Eight runs. Myself.
Yeah, but now you can't make fun of Baylor for going to the Sweet 16 and beating double-digit
seeds.
That's
very true.
You can't do that anymore.
I thought about that.
Your argument is shot. You're anti-Scott Drew, Sweet 16.
That's why I want Iowa State to beat Virginia, just so it's not.
Yeah.
Because that will happen.
Oh, it will happen, but if they beat Virginia, it completely legitimizes them.
Agreed.
As a Final Four team, should Agreed. They potentially get that far.
Dude, I think if they beat Virginia, I don't see any way that that Gonzaga is going to beat them, man.
Like, it's not.
Yeah.
You haven't been an Iowa State fan for long
That's
enough,
fair.
Jared.
That's
that,
fair.
That would not. Not nope. Man. Just wrap the show. I don't want to think about that right now.
Thanks, Brent. Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
We'll have all kinds of good coverage for you guys from Chicago later on in the week. Thanks to Sean back in the studio. Thanks to our friends here at Benchwarmers and our friends at Carl Chevrolet, your dealer for life. You've been listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.